7, and I'm going to actually start at verse 13. I was starting at 15, but I'm going to start at verse 13. It's entitled The Narrow and Wide Gate, although I'm not going to dwell on that, this particular part of the passage. Verse 13 then, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That is a challenging passage. If you take that passage to heart, you cannot be shaken by it. It's one of those tough passages that Jesus preaches on or teaches on. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling that... Let me pray, first of all. Lord, I do pray for this message here this morning that is for each one of us. Thank you that your word is a living word, and like that bread of life, we can feed on it, and it challenges us, and it helps us, and encourages us, and builds us up and brings us down, Lord, as well. It's a living word because it's Christ to us. So help us this morning, Lord. Take something from this message, from this passage of Scripture, and may it do something in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but do you feel that the battle that Paul talked about in Ephesians 6:12, you know, that we fight against flesh and blood and so on, is intensifying? It is, isn't it? You know, we're finding ourselves to stay in that narrow way that we've just read about. It's a bit more of a challenge. It's a bit more of a challenge. Now, it would have been the same for Jesus, I imagine. Imagine the society that they're living in. It's a Roman-occupied society. You've got all the different groups and religious leaders and the laws and so on. You've got the political groups. You've got the rivalries. All these things are happening in the time of Christ. And he must have been aware of, with all these different groups and different messages and prophets and teachers and so on, that there was a temptation of being deceived. And here in Matthew 7, Jesus is teaching his disciples, about true and false prophets and disciples. Jesus knew that the prophet, the teacher in those days, had the power of influence for good and for evil. Nothing had changed on that. If you read Scripture, you go back in Scripture, you see that what the impact of the prophets for good and for evil, there's a lot in Scripture about false teachers and false prophets. The prophet was a teacher. He played a central role in community. They had followers and teachers, and their teachings were taken to heart by many people. John the Baptist was a prophet and a teacher, and he had followers. He had, like Jesus, disciples around him. Scripture tells us that. In 1 Corinthians 1:11, we hear Paul talking about, well, one group is saying, I'm following Apollos. Another, I'm following Cephas. Another one, I'm following Christ. Another one, I'm following Paul. All these different groups were around in the early church also, with their different messages and the different prophets that were trying to bring people closer to their way of life. Even in Israel today, and even around the world, rabbis, thank you, rabbis who have a major influence on different groups, and they all have a different take on the Torah. So you can see the temptation of getting caught up into false teaching is there. And you know what? It's with us today also. It's absolutely with us today. Paul picks up on this theme because Jesus talks about, look at the fruit. He says this, look at the fruit. What is being produced by the teaching? And Paul picks up on the same theme in Acts 20:29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Can you see how relevant this is for today? It is so relevant in these days, this particular passage. Note that those that were distorting the truth were from among us. That's what Paul says. They're coming from among you to distort the truth. Discerning deception and dealing with it becomes more of a challenge when it's in the church and coming from those we love and respect. The temptation is to turn a blind eye. Over these last few years, there's been some higher profile Christian leaders who sadly have fallen into sin and error. But what is sad is they had groups of Christians around them who saw things that weren't quite looking right and feeling right, but they allowed it to drift. They were almost complicit in what was going on. And Jesus challenges us. Watch, pray. Do you remember in the garden? Keep awake and pray. When we spot bad fruit, we need to nip it in the bud. And that's a challenge for each one of us. Alongside in Scripture the many encouragements we receive, there are the many warnings. Matthew 24:25. You've all read that quite a few times. In these ever-changing times we're in, we need to be awake for the unexpected. Do you remember Nehemiah? Do you know the story of Nehemiah? When they was rebuilding the walls, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. That's you. That has to be you. I'm not talking about back then now. Guys, I'm talking about Christians today. Because with the trowel, you've been serving Christ here. That's what we do. We're servants. We love God. People have been involved here this morning with a trowel in their hand, but in the other hand, we carry a sword. Because we recognize, like Paul talks, we're in a spiritual battle, and we have to be ready for attacks and the unexpected. Matthew 7, these prophets were described as wolves. Jesus described them that way. They were disguised as sheep. We all love sheep, don't we? Sheep are cuddly, they're gentle, they're approachable, they're warm, they're friendly. It's true, isn't it? The devil is an angel of light. I once said, if someone's going to rob a house, they don't knock on the door, do they? With a striped jumper on and a swag bag. They're crafty. The devil's a liar. He's crafty. And that's what he does today too. He presents as that angel of light. But the true motivation is to mislead and to corrupt and to deceive. We're in days of 1,000 messages, 1,000 prophecies. I can go online today and I can hear 50 prophecies. I can go online today and listen to the greatest teachers from around the world. I can listen to 100 sermons if I've got time today. All these different messages, we're bombarded with them. It's information overload, and in and amongst all that, I have to discern what's of God and what isn't of God, lest I be deceived and led astray. We have to learn to discern the truth from the false, and this is what Jesus is teaching. The world's ideologies are banging on the church doors. The LGBT agenda, global warming, abortion, euthanasia, racism, you name it, the list goes on. And we Christians are having to steer our way through all these different, these maze of messages that are coming to the church and banging on the door. And we need God's clear guidance to steer through a faithful path. Sadly, many churches have strayed away from biblical truth. Their watchmen, so to speak, have fallen asleep on the walls. And they will argue that we have fresh revelation from God and we're moving with our society. That's what they'll say. They call it progressive Christianity. Jesus might well say, you're entertaining wolves. That's the challenge to the church. What hasn't helped, and I say this as an evangelist and someone who has a lot of contact with churches, is that what's contributed to the church getting caught up into false teaching is that we don't talk about the issues. The church is quiet on many of the issues that are confronting the church today. And if we don't talk about it, we don't get the understanding. And if we haven't got the understanding, we're more vulnerable to be deceived. Why do we think Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples teaching them about these very things that I'm talking about? Why is the Bible telling us about these these tough passages because he knows that the church in the future is not going to look like it is today. The Bible tells us that many will fall away. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life, and not many people find it. Can you see it's a hard word here from Jesus this morning? But he needed to give it to his disciples because he wanted the church to survive. And if he hadn't, if Jesus hadn't have taught that, we might not even be here today. It's so important, this. Jesus was equipping his disciples to be able to cope with what was coming. All the issues that we should be discussing in church. As a bit of a challenge, when's the last time that you talked about all the LGBT stuff? And what's right and wrong? Same-sex marriage, abortion. I'm sure in this church you've gone through all this list. Hell and judgment. What does the Bible say about female leadership? It's a tough one because it gets personal. Health, wealth and prosperity teaching. Israel. Oh my, I'm going to shock you here. I visit a lot of churches, but there's very little talk about what's going on in Israel today. I'm shocked. I am completely shocked. The lack of prayer, when we think as we are here this morning, I don't know what you think about all this, but there are children who are being held by terrorists, and we don't pray for them. It's barbaric what's happening on both sides. We pray for the Ukraine, and rightly so. But my word, we should be on our knees. After all, we have a lot to thank the Jews for. And yet we seem to be fearful of talking about the issues and debating them. Why? My message has always been, we Christians should be leading the way in society. There should be nothing that we are afraid to discuss and pray about. And all these things that I've mentioned, we put them under the light of God's word. If it's not in the word and clear, we put it aside. We don't embrace stuff that Jesus, the Father, hasn't said, this is okay with me. But it seemed, this is a hard word, guys. I don't apologize for it because I think we sometimes need to have the hard words as well. But I'm conscious, and I want you, I'm with all respect for you lovely Christian people, hard-working, faithful people, and my respect goes out to you. This isn't let's beat people up at all. This is a message of encouragement. Because I'm fearful about the church, and you'll hear a little bit more. And I won't go on too long, because I'm conscious we've got other things going on. My brother moved home, and he struggled to find a church in Essex, in his area, that hadn't embraced liberalism. He struggled. And today there are many Christians who are not in churches today because they're struggling to find churches that are adhering to the Word of God, who haven't compromised the Word of God. And like Jesus said, you will tell them by their fruits. Do grapes grow on thorn bushes? No. Or figs on thistles? No. Do not expect good fruit from a bad tree. If the practices in a church are questionable, if the teaching contradicts the Bible, if the gospel is one of works and not of the cross, if the church is talking about diversity, inclusion, and flying a rainbow flag, lots of love, 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 but never talk about sin and repentance or judgment, the fruit produced in that church is likely to be bad. That's what the Bible says. And those attending those churches who are not being fed and taught are likely, and this is what's frightening, are likely to hear Jesus say, "I do not know you." That is the most saddest thing I could ever say. That there are people who are going to church regularly, year after year. I sat with a woman who had been in the church for 30 years. It was an all-together service where we could chat with one another. And I chatted with her and asked her how she became a Christian. And she said, "Well, I've been in the church for 30 years. Anglican church?" I said, "But how did you become a Christian?" She said, "Well, I go to church. I've been here for 30 years. I talked to her about the gospel, the cross, forgiveness, the hope that Christ brings. She said, "I've never heard this message." If that woman were to die that night, Jesus would say, and she said, I've been to church for 30 years. And he might well say to her, "I don't know you." Can you see how important it is we stay with the word? Not just say, "But we've got to love everybody." Yes, we do love everybody, but we put them before Christ and the cross. I don't care whether someone is homosexual or a lesbian or whatever. If they come into church, they hear the gospel that says, if we live in a sinful life, we need to change that life because Christ loves us. This is the message, and it's a message of hope that everyone deserves to hear. Verse 22, many will say on that day, the day of judgment that is, "Lord, look what we did in your name. We prophesied, we performed miracles, great deliverances." Can you imagine a church in the New Forest? Let's say in Lymington. Miracles were happening. Deliverances were happening. There was great prophecies. I guarantee you that church would be full overnight, wouldn't it? Because Christians have the habit of running wherever there seems to be something wonderful happening, rightly so. And they'd go into that church and they'd say, "Get along there. There's miracles happening. There's deliverances. There's some fantastic prophecies," without even testing whether it's truly of God. Look at the Toronto Blessing. I was a leader in Southampton when all that was happening. I visited one or two churches. I wasn't impressed. Leadership friends were going to Toronto for the blessing to bring it back, without actually asking, "Just a minute, is all this really the Holy Spirit? Or are we being deceived?" I went to services, two of them, in Southampton. I walked out on the second one. After seeing what I was seeing, I thought, this is not the Holy Spirit at work. This is a deceiving spirit that's going on here. You cannot have people playing imaginary cricket in the spirit. You cannot have people jumping into each other and doing the stupidest things I've ever seen in the name of Jesus. It was madness. But Christians were being deceived because they wasn't daring to say, "Just a minute, this is not tying up with Scripture. I need to think about this." This is a challenge. This is a challenge. we must dare to ask when we go to church, what is being taught? What is being avoided? What behaviours are we seeing? What are the people praying or not praying? What songs are being sung? Are the church Bibles covered in dust and flies? I went to preach in a church, and I look around in churches before I... that's what we do, isn't it, if you've got time? And the churches at the back of the Bible were covered in dust and flies. That spoke volumes to me. Now you might say, well, then people might have brought their own Bibles, or they might have it on their phone. You do not disrespect the Word of God like that. For those Bibles to be covered in flies and dust, it speaks volumes about our attitude towards God. Do you agree with that? I mean, guys, I mean, am I off the wall here? It's not good, is it? It's not a good sign. And that's what we have sometimes. 1 John 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We have to learn to test the spirits. Pray. Bring the word of God. Test and test again. Do you know me and my wife, and I ain't going to go on for much longer. Me and my wife went to Portsmouth for a prophecy conference. We went there because someone was going to be speaking on a specific subject. We thought this would be interesting. This would be interesting. So we went down to Portsmouth. That word didn't happen. But we had a chap on the keyboards. Lovely Christian man. I didn't know him personally. But he did say to us that everyone has an inner sound. We all have an inner sound inside. You see, our own personal sound. And when we make that sound out to God, he changes that sound into a prayer. So if we all make our own personal sound out into the city, God will take those sounds and turn them into prayers for the city. Complete new age. Total new age, wacky stuff. And then we had a queue of about 20 people giving all their different prophecies. And I listened to them all. Loads of contradictions. It was mad. And the evening was even, my word, the minister there said, God has given me a special word for you tonight. I've prayed into this. I've been studying this. I'm going to bring this word. He didn't bring any word. The Bible wasn't opened. But what he did do was call down the fire. And then he set up a fire tunnel for everyone to go through and have the laying on of hands to receive the anointing. There was noises like I've never heard before. There were people on the floor, wriggling around on the floor. It was absolute madness. And this is meant to be honouring to God. Well, of course, that for me, that is a complaint. You see, for certain things, you know, the Bible talks about the gift of discernment. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, just picking up on that, in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Listen to this. This is so important. A time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers, a great number of teachers, it actually says, to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. In some ways, that prophecy conference, that speaks about that. Do you think we're in these days today? Do you think we're in these days now where people are wanting their ears tickled? They're wanting to come to church and feel ever so nice. But do you know what? There are times when we should go to church, and I speak to myself, when I feel rotten and sinful because I've been challenged. I don't want to. Sometimes we have to go away from church with a heavy heart, isn't it? Not that we choose to make people feel like that, but when the Spirit moves, there are sometimes He touches our hearts and challenges us and makes us think about our behaviour, our Christian life, our commitment to Him, what church means, and so on. And that gift of discernment of spirits. See, we need discernment today. I don't need discernment to, when it comes to homosexuality and these things, or abortion, or whether God created the world. You know, there's certain things I don't need discernment. God's written it on my heart, on your heart, and it's in the Word, clear. But in terms of that meeting in Portsmouth, and in terms of all that Toronto stuff that came in, Lord, I needed that gift of discernment. And we need the gift of discernment. We should ask for it. Because in these days, these challenging days that you already admit we're in, persecution of Christians, I've never known it in this country as much as we've got now. People are losing their jobs because they're standing for Christ. People are losing their jobs because they're wearing crosses. These are the days we're in. And when Jesus passed on truth, pass on truth to your children. As someone who worked in schools for many, many years, children are being indoctrinated today. They are being sold lies today. I hate to say it, but there are people whose intention is to go in and corrupt our young people. Because if they can corrupt our young people, they'll be corrupted adults. I have a friend who's an ed teacher in schools. And believe me, the challenges he has to put up with. He's a Christian, a very keen Christian. And every day there's battles with those that want to come in. To think we have young people who are believing that they are animals. How did it ever get to that? With schools putting out, with children who think they're cats, they're putting out cat litter outside the toilet for the children to use. How can adults go with this? You see, the challenge is, this is where, in terms of prayer, I mean, we have to be in touch. This is why we have to talk about the issues, so that we can pray wisely and get understanding and understand what teachers are going through in class. Christian teachers who are having hard times, and not just as Christian teachers. I'm going to finish in 1 minute. You've been very patient with me. We need that gift of discernment. Guys, our gatherings are so important. This church, I've been reminded by Peter this morning, has been going on for hundreds of years. We want it to carry on for however long it takes before the Lord returns. We want this church to be thriving. And that's why we need to be in touch with what's going on in our world. And we, not because we just want to be in touch, because it's attacking the Word of God. Many of those ideas that are out there that are pushing in are attacking the Word of God. You know? So we have to. So our fellowship must always be real. And I know this one is. That we share together, we pray for each other, we encourage each other. We pray for that gift of discernment. If anyone's bringing a word and we're not sure about it, then we can be sure we're going to be praying about it and we're going to be talking about it. We've got to encourage each other. Remember that first bit of the passage that I read? Keeping in the narrow way. Don't we want everyone here that steps before Christ for him to say, come on, my faithful loved one, come and spend eternity with me. Not to say, I don't know you. The gospel is so important. Our fellowship has got to be deep and true. It's true, isn't it? There's no place in the Bible for shallow relationships. In fact, shallow relationships are a deception of the devil. Let's keep shallow. Let's not go deep. Let's just do church on a Sunday. That's all you need. Don't go too deep. Don't take it too serious. See what I'm saying? Pray for each other, brothers and sisters. Encourage each other. When we break bread in a minute that Trude is going to lead us in, take that bread and that wine and rededicate yourself to Christ and say, Lord, if I've been deceived in any way, then help me, forgive me. But if I've entertained wolves when I thought I was entertaining sheep, forgive me and help me. Take me deeper into you. And may I always be someone who gives God's blessing and challenge. And our young people, as parents, may I be someone who dares to say, how can I pray for you when you go to college or school? You know, what are the difficulties you're having? You know, is it, what can we do? You know, how can I support you? Because I'm not aware of what you're going through in college or school or in work. Can you see how important it is? This takes our fellowship deeper. I've said enough. It's been a hard word, guys, this morning, but I do hope in some way the Lord has spoken to you and challenged you. Because we are in days of shaking. The church is being shaken. And we want the foundations of our church to be solid. So the shaking can carry on. But we're going to stand firm in Christ. And we will not depart from this word. Do you know I read something that someone was trying to say? They liken this word to a book for terrorism. They likened it in that way because it's so radical. This word is under attack. We've got to stay with it. Stay with it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this congregation here of your people. Your faithful people. Lord, this has been a challenging word for me, and maybe for each of us. Might have been a hard word, Lord, but I pray that within this message, you might have spoken to our hearts so that we can go deeper with you. Deeper with you, Lord, and deeper with one another. And protect us from the wolves, we pray. The wolves that are banging on the door, trying to corrupt, trying to mislead us. Give us, we pray your blessing upon our leaders, Lord, as they guide the church in the ways of God. Bless them and help them and encourage them in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.